For members only. Golf Smarter number 298, published on September 13, 2011.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Body position in regards to the ball flight with Golf Better coach Rick Kosher.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Rick.
Fred, glad to be back with you again. It's been a year too long.
It has been a full year, hasn't it?
It has.
Well, I'm glad that we can reintroduce you to everybody because I thought your stuff was fascinating and the direction from where you came to where you're headed. And why don't you give us a brief overview of where it is you're headed these days with your golf practice?
Where am I headed? You know, Fred, I decided that there's only one way to teach golf, and that's the way I want to do it. And so I've created and opened recently something called the Golf Better Studio in Elmhurst, Illinois. And I've focused my teaching on two facets of athletic movements, actually. And the first part of that is I do one-on-one fitness training, primarily to help people learn how to re-educate their body to move. And then I take them from that discipline into my golf studio section that I use some pretty sophisticated indoor simulator equipment by About Golf to actually demonstrate to them exactly where we are and how we're designing our ball flights. So it's been a lot of fun.
And what is, I'm glad you used those words because I want to ask you, what is the golf move?
You know, it's very interesting. And I try not to use the word swing whatsoever. And the reason why is because I think the golf move is really comprised of three movements the body has to make. One, a rotation of the hips. And you've had some great speakers on your show in the past that talk about pivot points, etc. And the plane in which those hips generally rotate is parallel to the ground. The other plane that your body rotates in is the one that your shoulders will rotate in around the thoracic area of your vertebrae, your upper back area. And that's a plane that's tilted and is mandated really by your spine position at address. How far bent forward or towards the ball are you? And your ability to maintain that spine angle is really critical in being able to get back to the ball on a consistent basis square. And really the third motion that's important is an extension of your bottom hand. So in a right-handed player, it would be your right arm as it extends into the hitting area. And those are the three areas that I work on with students, both in the fitness area as well as in the swing lessons. You know, one thing I've found, Fred, is golf is kind of like the medical industry in certain ways. We often go ahead and try to treat the symptoms rather than the cause. And we talk a lot about putting clubs in various positions. You know, it should be
here.
Oh,
I thought you were headed towards the idea of malpractice.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
Because there's so many coaches out there that's saying they could help you.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there's ever. I don't have to talk to my son. He's an attorney. Maybe we stumbled onto a new business opportunity for him.
Malpractice suits against golf instructors.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
That's funny. But anyways, you know, I learned a lesson a long time ago from a guy from IBM, and you know, he used to do a lot of training in a business that I was associated with, and I said to him, I said, "What do you guys do here?" He said, "Honestly, he says it's really simple. He says we teach our people the root cause." You explain that to me. I just run a hotel at this time. He goes, here's what we do. In our processes on anything that we're working on, you get to a point in that process and you find that it's not working. And he goes, you might be at position R in that process. And that's where it falters. So you need to start looking backwards until you find the original cause of the original problem. And you may find that what caused R to go wrong is actually in N. And you may stop there and go, I fixed R. But what preceded that actually causes the problem to occur? So that's kind of how I work with my students in the game of golf, because there's two lessons you learn every time you hit the golf ball, if you pay attention to them. And the first one is, what is your finish position? You can't get to a perfectly balanced finish position unless your body moves all the way through in a proper sequence. It just doesn't happen any other way. Some people will fool themselves and stand like a professional at the end of their golf swing, but come out of their posture to get there or their finish position in order to make them think that they're in a good position. But they don't arrive there naturally.
You know what surprises me is that in so many conversations that I have with golfers, not instructors that I record, but golfers when I'm out on the golf course or we're hanging out, what's not, I'm absolutely shocked to hear how many people feel that the end of your golf swing is contact.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And people and some instructors I've heard on your show talk this way. And I tell students this. I go, listen, really, we're just going to let the ball get in the way of a club that's moving properly in the correct plane. Yeah. We're not really concerned with hitting the golf ball per se, mm-hmm. as we are with making an athletic movement that will cause us to get the club face back square to the golf ball. Because the second lesson you learn every time you hit a golf shot is the ball is perfectly flighted every single time based on the laws of physics during that 1/2000th of a second relationship it has. We've talked about that in the past. But if you understand why a ball is doing what it's doing, then you can begin to relate back to how the face angle is attacking that ball and couple that into the mechanics of a proper golf move. And then we'll find a way for you to teach yourself how. You know, one of my favorite sayings is by a guy by the name of Edward Bulwer Lytton. The best teacher is one who suggests rather than dogmatizes and inspires his listener with the wish to teach himself. You know, so if we're out there playing and things aren't going well in our golf game, there are certain keys that I help my students learn that will lead them back to the McIlroy swing that he made on the 10th hole when he was standing at Augusta with the lead, a 3-stroke lead on Sunday afternoon. You know, what happened to McIlroy was that old muscle memory swing snuck into his swing, and he's always fought hard hooks, Ben Hogan-ish. And unfortunately, you know, just lost concentration, got out of the moment, did whatever it happened, and he hooks that ball into the shrubs between those two houses. Then he knocks it out in the fairway, and then what does he do? He makes the exact same mistake again, hooks the ball down left of the green on 10, and puts himself in a no-go zone. All right, and he ends up doubling or tripling, I think, the 10th hole, so now he's even. If you noticed, McIlroy didn't hit a ball anywhere but perfectly straight his entire rounds at the U.S. Open this summer.
Right.
So he fixed it. He got rid of that old muscle memory. And it's an interesting process because whenever you learn anything, and I don't care what it is, you learn how to talk, you learn how to walk, you learn how to swing a club, you learn how to play an instrument, your brain develops certain neurological patterns that become cast in concrete over time. There's a myelin filament that actually develops over these neurological patterns that insulates those patterns so they become more ingrained. So when we talk about muscle memory, we're really talking about these ingrained neurological patterns that fire in a specific sequence. Well, when I'm going to rework your golf swing, I have one of two choices. I can get in your brain and scrape all that stuff off your current neurological patterns so I can change them. Or I can change and create new patterns. And that's what I do in the fitness gym. When I want to talk about proper hip rotation, I don't do it with you standing with a golf club. I strap you into something that will make your hips move the way I want them to. Then I take you back to the studio side and go, okay, this is how it's going to, and you'll be surprised how automatically that new move is created. But we're always going to fight that going back to the old way because that pattern is still ingrained in your brain. It's going to surface. It's going to surface again and again. We just have to be able to identify the circumstances when it most likely is going to jump out at the wrong time, i.e. McIlroy 10th tee shot on Augusta.
Hey, leave the guy alone already. Come on.
Well, but you know what? I mean, he'll have more of those opportunities.
Sure.
But you know what he did in the next 3 months or 2 months. He got back on his jet and he flew back to England and he went back to his teacher and they were reworking to make sure, listen, you know, this is the not go-to move that you will always make under certain situations. We need to make sure that you don't go there. And it worked for one so far. He did a pretty good job with the U.S.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But was it more of a swing mechanic or metal issue from the pressure?
Well, you know, it's going to be both, because the psychological game that you're playing is the one that when you lose focus, your body is your subconscious is going to revert back to what? And that's the key. What is your subconscious going? Because, you know, we learn things in stages. We learn things in a conscious fashion first. You know, if I asked you to get up out of your, if I asked you just to stand up right now.
Did you? Because I just did.
Okay, if you did, that's great. Now, I want you to write down for me exactly what you did to do that.
Oh.
All right, you'd be here until next week.
Right.
Okay. So that's how we learn the game of golf.
Just
right?
Thinking about it, let alone writing it. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's how we learn. That's how we learn everything. So when we're learning the game of golf, that's the first process. The first process of learning anything. We're going to have to convert an instructor's or some other outside influence's edict, so to speak, with trying to simulate that and make my body do it. You know, which is really hard to do. One of the fun things I have with my simulators, I have three live cameras that capture three different views. And it's funny, when I go to live view and I draw a line on the screen, which my students have one sitting right down next to their golf ball, so they don't have to come out of their golf posture ever to see exactly what I'm seeing. And I go, no, lay your hand on that circle. And it's funny to watch them try to move their hands around to actually move their body into that position. And when they do, they look up and they go, you gotta be kidding me, that's what it feels like? I go, that's correct, because it's hard for you. You can't see what your instructor sees, and your instructor can't feel what you feel. So the idea is, we gotta get the two of these things to mesh.
Right.
You know, and there's a number of ways to do it. And one of the best ways I found to do it is to teach you to make a move without a golf club and then repeat it with a club in your hand.
I find that to be one of the hardest things in the world to do, is a golf swing without a club in my hand.
Right, because what I don't teach golf swings without your club, okay? I teach movements without your club.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so if I want to concentrate on right arm extension and you holding your right arm at the proper angle, is, remember, when you set up to the golf, if you set up to a golf ball correctly, or anyway, you've pre-established all of the angles in your body that need to be maintained in order to get back to the ball, right?
Yep.
Well, because if you stand up with your back, something else has to go lower in order to get back to the ball.
Right.
So you're looking at trying to return yourself back to those same positions. So what I teach is, if we're working with that right arm, how do you hold that in the proper position? Well, if I attach you to a wall with a band, an exercise band, and apply tension to that movement, then you begin to feel the muscles work in the way that I want them to. And you also begin to feel the way that you make them work in a way that I don't want you to. So it's building the new neurological movement patterns in an effective manner.
Would you concur with the statement that, you know, so many people say, oh, you lifted your head. Oh, you lifted your head. But actually,
yeah,
you're lifting your back. It's not your head.
I'm going to give you a test right now, and it's going to lead us to the answer to this question. Okay, so you're sitting down right now, right?
Correct.
And I just want you to sit in a very relaxed position, you know, not slumping over, but, you know, like you would if you were working on a keyboard.
I can't, because I kind of sit on one of those chairs. It's like a ball, so I can't sit.
Ah, so you sit perfectly.
No, but I do. I do, yeah, have,
well,
one of those chairs that makes me, that forces me to engage my core and sit up straight.
Yes, it does. What it engages is, it forces you to engage the muscles to put your pelvis in the proper position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, most people, if they're sitting down and I ask them to take a finger and just put it on underneath one of their cheeks, that they're sitting on, impress them, they'll be soft. And then I also ask them to go ahead and just press the belly button area, and you'll find out that the muscles are relaxed and they're soft. Okay?
Yep.
And then I'll ask you to squeeze your butt cheeks together. Now test those two areas for the muscular tension that's going on. And most people, if they can squeeze their butt cheeks together, will find that both glutes have tightened up and their abs have tightened up. And what's happened is they have correctly rotated their pelvis area into a proper position. Here's another test.
Doing Kegels.
Stand up against the wall. Exactly. Stand up against the wall. Heels against the wall. Rear end against the wall. Shoulders against the wall. And put your head back against the wall. Okay.
You can say butt cheeks, but you won't say, but you say rear end. Come on. This is a members only show. We could say, like, he said butt cheeks. What am I going to do with this?
and then I want you to take one of your arms and I want you to put it in the small of your back. And I want you to notice how big of a space there is between the wall and your back.
Yep.
Then I want you to try to press that lower back portion against the wall. Okay. Doesn't have to touch the wall. But let's just see if we can close the gap without pulling your head off the wall.
Well, I've been doing a lot of Pilates lately. And
good. That's perfect for you.
That's a big focus on that.
Sure.
Laying down. But, yeah, I get that.
Well, exactly. Same thing. So now, without changing any posture positions, take a giant step away from the wall and see how you feel. Right. Is that how you normally stand?
No, because it's probably very uncomfortable.
No, because it's very perfect, but it's very uncomfortable because your muscles have gone in a different direction. Okay, particularly with your upper shoulder area slumping forward and adapting to a gut out, big C position in your lower back. Both of which are Dr. Janda, a guy, a doctor from the Czech Republic, who noticed, geez, people today have a really poor way of walking. They have these terrible postures. Why? And it's because their muscles have adapted to a sedentary lifestyle. So what happens is if I go to contract my forearm in a bicep curl move, in order for that move to occur, my tricep has to relax. It's just what your body does automatically. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you go to extend your arm, then your bicep has to relax. Mm-hmm. So when we sit all day long, what happens is the hip flexors, those muscles in the front of our leg that allow us to lift a leg up, are actually in a shortened, flexed position. They're not under tension, but they're shortened. In order for those muscles to stay shortened, the glutes and the abs, okay.
And I'm sorry, say that. The glutes and the abs what? You broke up for a second.
The glutes and the abs have to relax.
Thank you.
Okay. And what happens is your pelvis rotates in an incorrect manner. So now when you stand up, you have this big C curve in your lower back. Okay? So now let's get back to the golf swing and your question about lifting up your head. All right? If you stand up and you get into a golf posture with a big C curve in your lower back and you come down into the hitting area, 9 out of 10 people will feel as if their right hip, okay, for a right-handed golfer, is moving towards the golf ball. All right? What's happening is people are early extending in the low back area simply because that's where their pelvis is dictating it to be. And so they actually stand up. Now, their head is connected to their neck, which is connected to the thorax, which is connected to the middle of the lower part of your back, which is connected to your lumbar area. And if you extend or stand up in the lower lumbar area, which way is your head going to go?
Towards my butt cheeks. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that again.
It's going to go up.
Right.
So everybody said you're lifting your head. No, your head is lifting because another part of your body. You see, that goes back to the IBM root cause.
Root cause.
What is causing your head to go up? What body movement is causing your to see the visual? And you see, that's why golf, that's why it's so hard. We look at a golfer swing a golf club on the pro tour. We look at them and we think they're swinging their arms. They're not. If you want to see something that's really impressive, go look at Dave Phillips from MyTPI, from Titleist Performance Institute. I also am a Titleist Performance Institute
certified. Yeah, I was going to get there. I wanted to ask you about that, but we'll get there in a minute.
But Phillips did, about a month and a half ago, something about McElroy's hip rotation in a golf swing. Fascinating piece of work. Fascinating piece of work when you look at it. I really encourage everybody, go become a MyTPI member. It's free. And look at some of the stuff these guys are doing between him and Dr. Greg Rose. And you look at his hip rotation, and you'll see where he generates his power to hit a golf ball. And it has nothing to do with swinging your arm. I was having this conversation with another professional the other day, and we got into an argument about it. And I said, look, I'm going to show you the video. And I made him get online and look at it. Wasn't that video, McElroy, but it was another one. I said, you tell me where, when does he swing his arms? I go, at contact, he doesn't even have his right arm extended. He hits his driver with his right elbow at about let's call it 100, and if 180 degrees is a perfectly straight right arm. Okay, let's bend the right arm until we get to about 145 degrees. That's when he hits the golf ball. You tell me where the swing is. Where does his arm swing? And he looks at it, he goes, I can't. He goes, I see it. I see the rotation taking place. So it's that proper body rotation. And what we go back to, again, is what I'm finding and what the guys at TPI have found is that our daily lifestyles let our body acclimate into positions that are not correct. Look, you've seen professional golfers walk down the fairway, right?
Of course.
What do they look like when you see them walking, Fred?
Cocky bastards.
You know why? You're damn right. You know why? They look like they got a pole thrust right up their backside all the way up through their head, right?
A driver, yeah.
And they are standing so perfectly erect. And that's exactly what most people say. Those are cocky bastards.
Well, it's swagger. I mean, you don't
it's
get
not swagger. You know what it is? Posture.
Right, but you don't I see what you're saying. Okay. I was going to say, you don't get to that level of golf without having a swagger to you. But
you don't get to that level of golf without having perfect posture.
Yeah.
you can tell me
these
that
these are professional athletes. What about us?
What about us? So let me ask you a question.
We're desk jockeys.
And that's the problem. So here's what happens all day long. We sit in our desk chairs all day long, and we're sitting for 3 hours or 4 hours, and we go to stand up, and we have a tremendous pain in our low back. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that pain is? Mm-hmm. It's the erector muscles that run up the back of your spine that are responsible for keeping you upright. Okay, and because your pelvis is tilted incorrectly, and you've lost the structural foundation of the perfect alignment of your skeletal system, these erector muscles have been holding you up, because if they totally let go, your nose would go face first on your desk. Mm. You know, they're the ones that kind of curve your body upwards. Okay, well, because you're sitting there and you have incorrect pelvis tilt because your abdominals are weak and your glutes are weak, this erector muscle system, which is anchored at the backside of the pelvis area. Okay, the straining point is just about top lumbar, lower thoracic area, have been sitting there under tension. So I'll give you an example. I want you to pick up a 5-pound bag of sugar, and I want you to curl it in your arm until your forearm is parallel to the ground. I want you to hold it there for 8 hours.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Try to do that with just your putter.
Well, yeah. Okay, with anything.
For 8 hours, yeah, exactly.
Okay, with anything, okay? Then try to move that joint.
Right.
It's frozen.
Right, right.
Right? Well, that's the same thing we're all doing on our desk jockey jobs on a daily basis. We're making those erector muscles sit there. The other one is we're sitting there with our hands stretched out over our keyboard or our hands stretched out over our steering wheel, right? Mm-hmm. All right. And then where do you feel most of the fatigue? Mm-hmm. Right between the shoulder blades?
Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. Because the muscular system in your chest area has contracted, has relaxed. Those poor muscles in the rhomboid area of your back are all that's holding you. And again, you've contracted them into a certain position. Okay. So they're basically doing isometric exercise for hours on end. Hmm. And then you stand up and you go to move and you go, oh wow, somebody stabbed me in the back with a knife. Hmm. And it's not a disc problem. 99% of people's back problems are not are not disc related or structurally related. You know, a medical doctor can tell you if it is or it isn't. Most of it's muscle imbalances.
Wow. Well, I just found on YouTube, My TPI has their own channel, and they just posted less than a month ago, or end of August 2011, they posted a video called Hip Turn for Golf and Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one. I saw that one last night.
Yeah, it's just over 7.5 minutes long.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The one on that he does on McIlroy has a very unique hip turn. His hip rotation actually changes direction slightly after impact and then continues. It's amazing to watch on video, slow motion. And on that particular video that Phillips does, he talks a lot about the biomechanics of that hip joint area and what actually rotates. Mm-hmm. See, most people think you got this pole going up the center of your back and you're rotating around it. Not true, because the lower vertebrae area, particularly the lower lumbar area, those discs are not made to rotate. They'll bend in different directions, but they don't rotate. And yet most of us think that that's where we're supposed to be rotating. What's happening is when people make an early extended move, picking up their head in the golf swing, what they're actually doing is compressing those vertebrae against each other in a manner that they're not made to compress. I'll give you a scenario. If you stack up, we'll just do this for the lumbar area. There's five vertebrae down there. You stack them up, you get child's blocks, you know, the ones with the ABCs on them. And you stack them up five high. And then pretend that in between each one of those, there's like a quarter of an inch of jello.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, if you look at those and you start pressing from the top block down, you can begin to see how they waggle, right? And if you press far enough on one way, you'll see that you'll squeeze all the jello out between them on that edge, okay? So when you do that, okay, the bone structure begins to touch each other. Well, the reason why you have that lubrication in there, that joint stuff, because there's little nerves that come out of that whole spinal area that go to all the parts of your body. And what you do is you compress and you touch those. Well, the pain's coming from the compression on the nerves. So when you incorrectly bend, as you do in an early extension of the low back in the golf swing, yeah, you get back pain. That's why.
Interesting. So, and in my continued search, while you were talking, but I was paying attention, Dave Phillips on Rory McIlroy U.S. Open slow motion swing. I found it on YouTube, and okay. I will put the link to it on the show notes in the Golf Smarter blog for this
Perfect.
Program. So
Perfect.
when people are looking at the show notes for this show at golfsmarter.com, obviously the members only site, or even at golfsmarter.com, I'll link this so you can go ahead and see that
Perfect.
Video on your own.
Perfect.
And make sure that you take it out of 360 and put it at 1080p so you can see slow motion. You can get the full HD version of it.
Good thought. You know, I have a degree in physical education and from Springfield College.
Yeah, you have a degree in physical education. You're doing the My TPI and the golf instruction, but you are a businessman in between all this, weren't you? I mean, we've had lots of conversations off air. And
here I was. I was a businessman. I started off when I was a kid. I wanted to coach like Vince Lombardi. That was what I wanted to become. When I had my degree in physical education, and very early on decided I did not like the education system. We don't need to go there.
Yeah, right.
I loved coaching and teaching kids. I loved working with people. And I've coached people throughout my entire business career. The way I figured out to be successful in business is I got people around me who were better than me. And sometimes that meant I had to help them along to get better than me. Honestly, 3.5 years ago, 4 years, and I've been coaching on and off and doing lots of physical fitness things on and off over my career as enjoyment and teaching some golf on and off. But 3.5 years ago, I decided I wanted to move in a direction back to where my roots were. Because for X number of years in my business career, I was looking for the opportunity to get back into coaching athletics.
Nice.
3.5 years ago, I wrote a list. I said to myself, what do I want to be? And I came up with a professional golf instructor. And I took out a piece of paper and I wrote a list. On the left-hand side were all the reasons I could do it. And on the right-hand on the right-hand side of the paper all the reasons why I couldn't. Guess which column was longer?
The one, left one.
Well, the left one where I knew I could do it was shorter than the right-hand
oh,
side
really?
With the list of all the ones why I couldn't do it.
Oh, okay. But okay. You didn't care.
Well, so I ripped the paper in half.
Yeah.
Okay.
And which
I took
half?
The right-hand column.
Down the center or down?
Right down the center of my two columns.
Yeah.
And I took the right-hand side, which were all the reasons why I couldn't do it, and I wrinkled it up and I threw it away. And I went to work. That's exactly it. And I went to work. Fred, I went to work on all the things that I could do.
Good for you.
And that led me down. At that time, my concept was to get to this type of indoor teaching facility, to combine physical education, physical fitness, with learning how to swing, I use that word, how to move your body to hit a golf ball.
Awesome. And that's what you're doing today. So tell us about your website, how we can find you. And for those in the Midwest, and the East and the West, how do we get in touch with you to work with you?
Well, I have a website. It's thegolfbetterstudio.com.
Okay. And it's the Golf Better Studio. Correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Make sure you put
I also have I have a couple of Facebook pages that are interesting. One people might be most interested in is book, and it's the Golf Better Studio.
Oh, wait. You broke up. The Facebook is what?
It's the Golf Better Studio.
Okay.
So I have a business page on Facebook. And there I get a lot of interesting things going on.
Yeah.
And one of the new things we're working on here, and we're going to be out for the test version of this very shortly, is we're developing an online, we're developing a daily fitness video program.
Nice.
Yeah. And there's really specific design about this.
And how long will your videos be?
Well, the actual videos will probably only run about 3 minutes. They're going to be a series of 8 vignettes of an exercise move. Okay. And all this is meant to do is for you to be able to do certain exercises any time of day with very minimal equipment. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into the whole thing at another time. But what I'm looking for is either if you do this program for the cardiovascular benefits of it, and the muscular stability, mobility, flexibility, then you would do it in a 45-minute consecutive order. And depending on your fitness level, we'll teach you how to utilize the equipment to intensify the workout. So I'll be honest with you, Fred, an 80-year-old person who's never exercised and an NFL football player can use the identical exercise movements.
So interesting.
With the exact same equipment, yet when we change the dynamics of how those exercise move, floor after 45 minutes.
Amazing.
And exhaustion. So what's going to happen is you're going to get this series you'll get an email with the vignette. And then you can either do the program in its duration right off the bat, or you can just keep it on your phone and take the equipment with you, throw it in your briefcase. It's doesn't take up much room. I do a lot with TRX, and I do a lot with those rubbery, stretchy bands.
Nice.
And I teach you how to use them to get the workout. So even during the course of your business day, you could take out the piece of equipment, secure it to a closed door, and do a few of these exercises, and you're going to get the same benefit out of it. So I'm trying. Hey, this is my motto: golf is like life, be better.
Nice. So
golf is like life, be better. If I can get you to be better, the desk jockey that you refer to. If I can get your daily lifestyle to be better physically, then not only are you going to improve your golf move, you're going to improve how you feel on a daily basis. They go hand in hand. They're both cool four-letter words, golf and life.
You scared me there. All right, so thegolfbetterstudio.com. Rick Kosher, it is so nice to have you back on Golf Smarter for Members Only. I wish you all the best in the world, and again, we hope to be talking to you. Well, we're not going to have to wait another year, are we?
No, we're not. We'll be back in touch shortly.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Fred. Enjoyed it.
Get your copy now by Tony Manzoni, The Lost Fundamental, One Simple Move, Better Golf Forever, exclusively at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.